welcome to episode 510 of the Entertainment 2.0 podcast, brought to you by thedigitalmediazone.com. I'm Josh Pollard.
And I'm Richard Gunther. And this is the show that puts you in control of your favorite movies, music, shows, and games.
Well, at least some of that stuff.
Well, this time, a little bit of a lighter week. Mostly games, a little bit of video, no real music to speak of, but, you know, it varies from week to week.
Yeah, yeah. So, also, no listener feedback. So, if you all would like to be part of the show in a more asynchronous manner, you could shoot us email at entertainment20@thedigitalmediazone.com. If you want to participate in real time, you can do that like a couple of our regulars have done tonight and join the live stream, which we do typically Tuesday nights at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Look for the tweet for the link or just go over to the DMZ and click the big live button and you can join in the fun. All right. So no feedback, no other pleasantries to catch up on. Why don't we jump right into the video news?
Let's do it. And we have two video stories. So the first is, okay, wait, stop me if you feel like you've heard this before, Josh. A known brand in the video world is going to come out with a new video streaming service.
This sounds revolutionary.
It does, doesn't it? How about if I told you that you could watch the video for free by watching ads?
That might be okay, depending on the content.
Yeah. Now, what if I told you that this was Redbox?
I would think that's an interesting play from them, probably knowing that maybe their disc rental service is not long for this world.
Yeah. But really, they're switching to ad revenue as their income model now. This is really weird. And the other thing that kind of strikes me here is that isn't this like the second or third time that Redbox has tried to do some sort of streaming service? I know it's at least the second, if not the third, because there was that streaming service that at one point in time was, I believe, part of Ultraviolet.
I was thinking there have been two. I think one of them is still going on. I think you can still rent movies through them in the way that you could through Vudu or Amazon Video and things like that. I think they still offer that. I doubt anybody uses it, but I think it's still there. If I remember correctly, they, a long time ago, were doing some sort of streaming video partnership with Verizon.
Yep. Yep, that's absolutely right. I remember very well taking screen grabs from the Xbox version of the Redbox Verizon streaming app. Yeah, it was nice. It was very metro.
So, okay, so what are we actually getting here? And by that, I mean, what's the content we're getting here?
Oh, wait, did you want, like, top quality movies or something?
Well, that's what I get when I go to their kiosk.
Yeah. So I don't know that we have a whole lot of confidence, is I guess the word that I would use, that you're going to see quality TV here. So, like, the first thing you might think is, oh, okay. Well, maybe this is movies, right? I'm just going to be able to go and watch movies.
Right. It's Redbox.
Right. As best we can tell, it's not really. As best we can tell, these are all of those channels that you can pretty much get for free, probably already on your smart TV, definitely through TiVo's free service. I think there was another online service. I want to call it like Pluto or something like that. I don't think it is that, but I think there was another service that kind of combined all of these, what I would call them kind of like, you know, second name video providers. These are companies that don't make video as a primary thing, but they have these quote channels that they make available to stream as like this secondary way of getting an audience. Think TMZ, USA Today, I think there are a number of like car channels and stuff like that. This is not really new and exciting stuff.
Right. You're not going to be watching The Good Place or Homeland or, I don't know, anything that or you actually want to watch.
Real cable network, right? So right. Don't think that this is a substitute for cable TV. It is not.
No. Despite the fact that it's called Redbox Free Live TV. I mean, I guess it's live in that you go to their website and it starts playing like it's live, but it's not like turning on my TV with an antenna plugged into it or with a cable box plugged into it.
Yeah, I'm a little bit put off by the name because it's disingenuous. It's not live per se. It is linear. It's scheduled programming. I don't know that I would call that live. That's a weird word to include in the name.
Yeah,
anyway,
I agree.
You can tell we're really excited about it.
Well, you know what this reminds me of? Every gas station gas pump that I go to nowadays.
Yep.
Right? You start pumping your gas and you start getting like, you know, the latest like 24 seconds worth of sports news,
yep,
a little bit of pop culture news, and, you know, what's the most popular book and album right now?
Yeah. It's like the TV and Wendy's.
You know, right.
It's the same sort of stuff.
Is anybody looking to get that content when they're at home? I don't think so. And I'm not trying to just bash Redbox, but, you know, I don't know, because we dislike Redbox, because that's not the case. I just don't think this is interesting content for people. I want to see Redbox survive, but I don't think dishing up ad supported content that people generally don't want to watch is going to be the way to keep this business afloat.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think it's really nice of you that you want to keep Redbox alive. I mean, I personally couldn't care less if Coinstar survives or doesn't survive. But, you know, this, if anything, is their least egregious of consumer services that they offer, in turn, like meaning Redbox as a brand.
Hmm. Okay.
But anyway. All right. So that's something that we're not excited about. Something that I am excited about and am likely to take advantage of is a new deal from Roku, where if you buy and activate a new Roku device between now and the end of the quarter, so the end of March, you will get 3 free months of CBS All Access, and you get the full service with no ads. Now, just like every free trial, this ends up converting to a normal paid subscription. If you don't end up canceling it, you have to provide your credit card information up front. And as far as I can tell, this is through the actual CBS All Access app. So you have to have not been a CBS All Access customer previously, meaning using the same email address. But it works with any Roku streamer, meaning any streamer that you buy, any Roku TV, any speakers that you buy, as long as they're new, not secondhand and not reconditioned or something, they qualify for this deal. You can buy a Roku for like $40. There are some that are right, even cheaper. And this deal is worth about $30, 3 months of $10 service that you're getting for free with it, kind of making the Roku cost about just $10. If you're looking at Roku, this is a pretty good deal. And I'm looking to upgrade the Roku in my bedroom. So I may do this because I kind of have an interest in CBS All Access these days that I'll talk about a little bit more later.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you've talked about it on previous episodes, I think. So that makes sense. I was just kind of surprised that you wanted a Roku device. You already have every streaming device known to man, it seems like.
Yeah. But in the bedroom, on the bedroom TV, it's Roku that I use.
Okay.
And the primary reason for that is that it has all of the services and absolutely everything is on one remote.
Mm.
I don't have to have a separate remote for the TV and for the volume. I don't have to have a a separate remote for anything else. It's also voice activated. I mean, it works really well when it's just with a standalone TV and you don't want to fiddle with remotes.
Yep. All right. So if you're looking to get a remote, a Roku for a good reason, or upgrade a Roku, this is definitely a deal people should sign up for.
Yeah, it's a good time to do it. And we'll have a link directly to the page on the Roku site where you can get information on how this works.
Cool. All right, so on to some gaming news. A little bit of an interesting mix of stories this week. First up, xCloud, Microsoft's game streaming service that's been in public beta for at least 4 or 5 months on Android devices, is now available on iOS, but there are a lot of caveats here. So the caveats don't really include the devices. It'll work on iPhone, it'll work on iPad, but not everybody gets in. They're using Test Flight and they're limiting it to 10,000 users, and it sounds like they're going to rotate through them. That's one limitation. Next one is the library of content. You play on Android, you've got like over 50 games that you can play. On iOS, you get one. Now, if you're only going to get one, this is the one to get. It's Halo the Master Chief Collection. So it's basically every Halo game. So I guess it's kind of more than one, but it's technically one title. You on Android, if your Xboxes that are in your house are on the Insider Preview program, you can use Project xCloud to stream from your Xboxes to your Android device. On iOS, you can't do that. No streaming from your Xbox. So a whole lot of limitations here, but it is available now, which is good news. And yeah, that's great news. Like, we didn't know when or if this would ever happen. Now, there's still other reasons to be leery. Xbox isn't the only game streaming service out there, right? We've talked a lot about Google Stadia. Last week, we talked about NVIDIA's GeForce Now. Neither of those are available on iOS. There have been similar services like Steam Link app, which allows you to stream from your gaming PC to your iOS device. That took a year before Apple agreed to put that app on the App Store. So we don't really know what's going on here. We don't know what the reason is for these limitations. We don't know why Stadia and GeForce Now still aren't available on iOS. The only reasonable assumption that I can make, and assumption maybe isn't a fair word, guess, I suppose, is when customers use these apps on their phones, they're not paying for apps. They're not paying for games in the Apple App Store, right? And maybe that's a little too cynical of a view, but I can't think of another good reason why these apps have kind of been blocked. You're the Apple guy. What do you think, Richard?
Well, do you think that they've been blocked, or do you think there's just not a motivation to prioritize getting them on that platform? I mean, you're right in that on that platform, these apps cannot have any sort of storefront where you could potentially subscribe or add titles or, you know, anything that you might do with a normal game service, whether it's, you know, even just adding something like if maybe there's a DLC package that you can buy. I don't know. I don't really know how these work, but anything that costs money, Apple's going to take 30% of, and no company that is making games is going to lose that kind of margin. They're just not going to do it. Right. So they could just be saying, well, you know, let's build for the platforms where if we want people to subscribe, write them the thing, they can. And eventually we'll get to iOS. Nobody's screaming yet. I don't know.
Maybe. So you think this is more on the app developer side, not the Apple side?
I do. I very seriously doubt that Apple is doing anything to block it. And I mean, good God, there are amazing, amazing game engines for iOS. So it can't be a matter of capabilities or the ability to develop for the platform.
Right. Right. I don't know. But I'm glad to see that it is available now on iOS, and I hope that whatever is causing these sort of limitations goes away soon, so that when Microsoft is ready to publicly release xCloud as an available general product, that it'll be available on Android and iOS. That would be really big, especially in the United States. So I hope, but I don't know. I'm a little bit more suspicious of this than you are, Richard. So
I do have a question. Sure. I mean, do we have any reason to believe that it's going to get, I don't know, like better? I mean, obviously one title is going to expand beyond one title, but the other limitations that you talked about, I mean, why? Like, why can't you stream from the Xbox? Is that not ever going to be in there, or is this just early, early, early?
I'm thinking that that feature might just be because it's early.
Okay.
That would be my guess.
All right. I'll buy that.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see. Next up, Google and their streaming service, Stadia. When it launched back in November, and it's hard to even call it a launch because this really still feels like a beta launch, it really only supported, in terms of phone access, the Pixel phones, which, hey, good for me, not so great for, you know, the vast majority of Android users on the planet. Most of them don't have Pixels. Well, that's changing. Now Google Stadia has added 18 more phones that they're supporting. A couple of them are gamer-centric devices. The Asus ROG, that's Republic of Gamers, phone, and the ROG Phone 2. The Razer Phone and Razer Phone 2 are supported. Also, a bunch of Samsung S-series phones. So like Galaxy S, Galaxy Note. All of those phones that have an 8 or a higher number than 8 are now supported. I'm not going to go through all of those.
Oh! Is it going to support the Essential phone?
No.
Wah.
That's not a Samsung S or Note series phone, Richard.
Well, no, but you're saying they're adding all these other phones, right? Sorry, I just had to get that dig in there.
Yeah, not that one. No. Sorry, Essential. Sorry, Andy Rubin or whoever it was.
Sorry, Essential for everything.
Yeah. Remember they were going to do a smart home thing?
Yeah, anybody believed that was going to be real. We never covered it. You know why?
Because it never happened.
It was ridiculous. It was never going to happen.
Okay, so speaking of ridiculous, this Google Stadia stuff. If you have that really cool Stadia controller, you still can't use it wirelessly on any phone. You have to plug it in. If you want to use an Xbox controller, Bluetooth all you want, or pretty much any other Bluetooth-supported gamepad that will work with your Android device, you can use those with Stadia wirelessly. But if you want to use that Stadia controller, you still got to plug it in. Thanks, Google. So, Google Stadia, people had to pay like $130 to get into this. It now works on about 20, 25 phones. Project xCloud, GeForce Now. Those services basically work on any Android phone. Pretty much all of them. Like, any phone that you would reasonably still be using today probably will run xCloud and GeForce Now. So, thanks for continuing the beta program, Google. Yeah. Okay. One more quick gaming story, and that is, I don't always want to talk about new games coming to Game Pass, but this is an impressive month. So if you all remember back to December during the Microsoft Xbox XO19 event that I think they had in Spain this year, they announced a ton of games that would be eventually coming to Game Pass. A few of them came in December, including The Witcher 3 and some other big ones. But they also said, and we reported on it back then, that they were going to be bringing a whole bunch of Japanese role-playing games. They mentioned some games from the Yakuza series. They mentioned Final Fantasy games. They mentioned Kingdom Hearts games. And most of those, they said, early 2020. Well, apparently early 2020 means late February, because three different, although it's kind of hard to even call them that, three different Kingdom Hearts games are coming to Game Pass next week. Kingdom Hearts 3, the newest one, which came out last year, Kingdom Hearts HD 1.5 and 2.5 Remix, and Kingdom Hearts HD 2.8 Final Chapter Prologue. Yes, that's one title. All coming next week, February 25th. Those are the only ones that were announced. And Yakuza 0 coming later in the month also. Those are it for those big Japanese role-playing games. But at XO19, right alongside this announcement, they did mention practically every Final Fantasy game that has come out since Final Fantasy VII. So I have to imagine those are really close, probably. We don't really know for sure, but it's got to be close. The other games they announced today, Ninja Gaiden 2, a really great classic Xbox game, Wasteland Remastered. This is the original Wasteland from like the late 80s, maybe early 90s, which is really just being done because they've got Wasteland 3 coming out in March or April. Pretty soon, this spring for sure. I already mentioned Yakuza 0 and Jackbox Party Pack 3. I'm not super familiar with the Jackbox games. There might be a lot more of them than just three, but they're all just trivia games. So does it really matter which one you're getting for free? It's still fun trivia games. So a lot of really great stuff coming to Xbox Game Pass any day now. A lot of really great stuff. So if you're still for some reason not subscribing to Xbox Game Pass, maybe you should, because there's a whole lot of really great games included for $10 a month.
Cool. And they still offer a free trial deal for that, don't they?
I think they are still doing that, where it's at least 1 month, but maybe 3 months for $1. I think that deal is still going on.
Got a message about that just, it seems like 2 weeks ago or so. So I imagine that's probably still going on.
Yeah, probably. All right, that's it for our gaming news.
Wow.
Yeah, that's it. You thought
Short
it was a ton.
Show. All right.
Yeah.
Well, that gives us some time to talk about what's been going on in our entertainment centers. And, you know, for me, it's the usual watches and some new stuff. But I first want to share a story about trying to return an unused cable card to Verizon. I think I mentioned in the past that I had 4 cable cards from Verizon Fios, and when I was going through and updating my service for the new router, I realized, oh, I'm not using one of those. I'm going to try and cancel that, and it wouldn't let me do it. It just kind of kept on crapping out every time I tried to cancel it. So I'm like, all right, I can't do it online. That's fine. I'll just give it to the guy when he comes and he brings the new router. Nope, I couldn't do that. He couldn't take the cable card from me and take it back with him, even though he took my old router with him when he brought the new router. He said, just go to a Verizon store. Any Verizon store can take it back for you. All right. Well, that's not a bad deal. So I went to a local Verizon store and they said, yeah, no, this is a Verizon wireless store. You need to go to a Verizon Fios office and they can take it back for you. I said, but my cable technician said, just bring it to any Verizon store. Any store should be able to do this. Yeah, no, we can't do that for you. They told me what store to go to, which is a store that I tried to exchange a cable card at a couple of years ago, actually. And I thought, oh, this is not going to go well. So today I went to that other Verizon store, which is apparently a Verizon Fios store. And I walk in, and there are 2 people working in the entire store, and there are 4 people in the store. 2 are at desks, 1 with each of said respective people, and the other 2 are on a waiting list, sitting down, waiting for someone to free up to help them. And I'm like, oh, forget this. I'm not dealing with this. This is ridiculous. To talk to somebody, I have to hang around for however long that's going to take. Well, they were, oh, by the way, buying phones. Because it's a Verizon store. So I get on Twitter and have a little bit of a rant about this. I'm not a tweetstorm guy. I think I had six tweet thread on this about the different steps.
This wasn't a little bit of a rant. Six tweets is not a little rant.
No, maybe not. Okay. So it caught Verizon's attention, which I imagine is good. And they got me over into a direct message conversation. And then they threw me over to Verizon web chat, which I've already tried for other stuff. And it's awful. I hate it. They try to upsell you. It's slow as anything. You have to validate through like a code on your phone. And it's just, it's a real hassle. So I ended up doing that. And they're like, oh, and while we're here, we can take a look at your services and see if there's any way we can save you money. No, all I want to do is return this card. So they're like, all right, so we'll send a label out to you and you can print that and then just take it to a UPS store. And they start doing some stuff and they're like, oh, we can't do that anymore. So we'll send you a kit and then you can put the card in that and then send it back through UPS. So I'm basically now just waiting to receive something in the mail that is supposedly going to let me ship this card back to them so I can stop paying $5 a month for a card that I'm not using.
This is ridiculous. It's not like this is like a biohazard that you're trying to give back to them.
Right. Right. Remember when you could just go to a cable company store and they had actual counters and there was usually someone there that handled equipment and you could just drop your equipment off and get a receipt that you had left it there and walk out? Why is this not like that? I just don't understand. Absolutely awful customer experience that Verizon has created, partially by the fact that it's really run as separate companies,
mm-hmm.
but all under this identical Verizon branding, making you think that it's one big family of stuff. It's kind of like going to FedEx and they ask you, well, what do you want, FedEx Ground or FedEx Express? I'm like, I don't know. You tell me.
Right. I will tell you where I want this to go. Right. You tell me how much it'll cost to get it there by
Why should
someday.
I know which division I need to work with right now?
Right.
That's irrelevant. Oh, it's so frustrating. Okay. Anyway, on the TV side, stuff is starting up again because we're now into the new year. So I'm up to date on Superstore and the Conners, up to date on This Is Us and New Amsterdam. I started The Flash season 6. That's actually this season. I'm not up to date, but I'm in season, so that's good. We're still working our way through Grace and Frankie season 4. Last Week Tonight resumed, so that's kind of cool. We just watched this weekend's episode of that. I am continuing to watch and loving Picard, and man, this show, I think anyway, this show is so good. And so I'm now watching it on a free CBS All Access channel trial through Amazon Prime. Previously, I was doing that through my Apple TV. Now, y'all know about this, right? Y'all know that you can try any of these premium stations on each of these services that allows you to add it as a channel. And it's completely separate because you're paying through that service. You don't actually go into the CBS All Access app. You're just going into, in my case, Apple TV, or you're going into the Amazon app or your Amazon Fire TV, and then you're selecting the programs from CBS, and it plays through the service that you're subscribed to within their branded experience. So you can do this multiple times. I'm going to run out, but it's possible. And so that's what I did there. Homeland has started. I'm up to date on that. That show has been so good. Two new shows hit on Apple TV. I started Mythic Quest, which is, I think I would describe it as, and I haven't seen this, but I've heard so much about it, Silicon Valley, but for gaming. It's really funny. It's more or less, it's not a mockumentary. It's not necessarily in the form of a documentary, but it follows a game company and all of the crazy personalities that might be involved in trying to get a game out. And it's, I think it's absolutely wonderful. And I highly recommend it to any geeks out there. Another show.
Hold on. You haven't seen Silicon Valley?
I have not.
Like, I haven't seen Silicon Valley, but people are used to me not seeing things. You watch everything. How have you not seen Silicon Valley?
I don't know. Time? I watch a lot of TV.
Stop watching.
It wasn't a high priority.
The shows like Flash and Arrow and stuff.
Hey now. I enjoy those. Another new show on Apple TV Plus is Visible. That's basically a five-part documentary about gay and lesbian visibility through television over the last like 30, 40 years or whatever. It's really, really good. I'm about halfway through that. And then we watched two movies. One, The Help, which I've already seen before. That's an amazing film. I don't know if you've ever seen that, Josh, but really, really good film. And here's one for you. Have you ever seen Disney's The Love Bug?
No.
It's the original Herbie movie. And we were just looking for something fun and lighthearted to watch on Saturday night. We had a friend staying with us for the weekend and trying to figure out what we wanted to watch and ended up selecting that. And I first of all, this is going to sound ridiculous. The effects are just crazy. I mean, it could be done so much better now, and it has been done because there are more recent Herbie movies. But the movie holds up. Like, it's still totally fun. And this, they must have remastered it because the movie looks unbelievable.
Hmm. That's cool.
So, yeah. We thoroughly enjoyed that.
Nice. So
that is pretty much it for what I have been watching. Josh, you've been watching lots of television?
No, not so much. Last week was a very busy week for me with work stuff, and then I was gone like all weekend. So no, I watched nothing basically. I did finally finish Without Remorse, the Tom Clancy book that I'd been reading. It was good. I still don't really understand how it's a prequel to the Jack Ryan stuff. But I guess the main character in this does appear in other Jack Ryan books, but Jack Ryan is not in this book. So I'm looking forward to moving on through that series. In terms of gaming, I did get to play a little bit. I got to play Friday night before I went away for the weekend. Yes, that was Valentine's Day. No, my wife and I not real big on Valentine's Day. I got flowers and stuff like that, but no, we don't really celebrate Valentine's Day.
Right.
So I was playing games. Yeah. So I mentioned
You were playing games on Valentine's Day?
She didn't mind. She didn't care. So.
Okay.
But, you talk to my wife. You can ask her.
Yep.
Maybe you should. I would like to know what she actually thinks. So yes, I was playing games, and partly because, as I mentioned on last week's episode, a beta for Bleeding Edge came out over the weekend, a new 4v4 melee game, sort of like Overwatch, but mostly melee characters.
Okay.
From the developers of Hellblade: Senua's Sacrifice, which is nothing at all like this game. This is cartoony like Overwatch. I kind of liked it. Like, there's a lot to learn. Like a traditional hero shooter game, you've got to learn the different characters' moves and how to use them effectively to be able to win. And it was my first night playing it. It was the first night for everybody in my group of friends that was playing with me. And some of them they didn't have a lot of patience. So we didn't stick with it for super long. But I liked what I was playing and would absolutely consider playing more of it. And when this game actually comes out this spring, it'll be on Xbox Game Pass. So I'm planning to spend more time with this when it's actually available.
Cool.
So when we gave up on that, we switched to The Division 2. It didn't feel like we really had new content to play there, so that didn't really seem all that exciting to me, but we did anyway. And then I played a little bit more Golf Story on my Switch this weekend. It's been a while since I've been able to play that. I would really like to get through that game. It's a lot of fun. I will be watching TV this weekend. Well, a movie this weekend. Because, Richard, do you know what Saturday is?
No. Yes, Saturday is my 50th reunion with the first company that I ever worked for.
What?
They're 50. They would be 50 years old. So they're okay. Having a reunion.
But it wasn't 50 years ago that you started working there because well, no, you would have been I would have a small been child.
Just a young tyke.
Right. No, it is the 40-year anniversary of The Miracle on Ice.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Cool.
Yes.
Cool. So, and I even knew what movie you were going to say because, you know, we're looking at the same notes.
Right.
But I had no idea about that. That's really cool.
Yeah. So my oldest daughter has not seen the movie Miracle yet. And
oh, it's so good.
She needs to. So Saturday, that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to put in Miracle and watch that. And man, I love that story. Like, frankly, I feel like this movie should be required in all American history classes across the country. I mean, it was a really, really big deal. So
it was a really big deal.
Not just from a hockey perspective, from a political perspective, a Cold War perspective.
Yep.
It was a really huge deal. So I'm excited to watch that again.
Cool.
It's been a few years since I've watched it. So I'm looking forward to that.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That's it for me. And I guess that means that's it for our show this week. So if you'd like to get a hold of us or join in the show, there's a lot of different ways you can do that. We're on Twitter. Richard is at Richard Gunther. I'm at Josh Pollard. The website is at DigiMediaZone. We're also on Instagram and Facebook and all that stuff. All of the details are in the show notes over at the DigitalMediaZone.com. The other thing you'll find there is Richard's other podcast called Home On. Richard, what's going on with Home On?
Yeah, so our new episode is with Zohar Shinar. He is the CEO of Alibra, the company behind Bond Home. We had a great discussion, and this guy was a trooper. He was on vacation last week when we did this show. I had no idea that he was taking time. He like was in a hotel room recording with me while his family was out. So
wow.
Really appreciated that. We had a great discussion, and that'll be out this week. And then coming up on our next episode, it should be early March. We have someone from SmartThings through Samsung. And this is what we were talking about last week. We've been trying to get someone from SmartThings on the show literally for 2 years now. So I'm very excited to have them on, and we're going to be talking about all the stuff that's been going on with SmartThings. And if you're not up on it, there is quite a lot.
Nice. Very cool. That's such a huge get for you. So that's cool. All right. We also do the show live. We use Mixer to do this. You can get to it right from the DMZ website, though. We do this normally Tuesday nights at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. We typically tweet about it a couple of hours ahead of time to let you know that it's going to happen. We also tweet once we're live, so definitely Twitter is the best way to know when that's going to happen. There's a chat room, so you get to actually participate while we're recording the show. We've also been trying to up our video production game too here, so hopefully going to be seeing a lot more episodes of this over on YouTube if you're big into watching things on YouTube. So hopefully this episode will be there. I don't think I screwed it up too bad this week, so it should be there. If it is, it'll be in the show notes for a direct link over to it on YouTube.
And if you like seeing us on video, I'm not quite sure why you would, but if you like that, you can get notifications when there are new episodes up there by subscribing to our YouTube channel.
Subscribe, ring the bell, all that stuff you're supposed to do on YouTube, do that. Right?
What is this bell people talk about?
It's for notifications, so that you get notified, because okay. Just subscribing doesn't necessarily notify you.
Oh, okay.
which is weird. Anyway, that's going to do it for episode 510. He's Richard Gunther, and I'm Josh Pollard. Thanks for listening to Entertainment 2.0. Adios.
Goodbye.